And I'm thrilled, delighted to say that the great man is on the line, Ray Martin. Hello, Ray.
Hello, Tony. Nice to talk to you again, and even on a Saturday night.
Yeah, it's great to catch up. And I often say to the kids or anybody that will listen, when you see your face on the TV, when you see hear your voice on the radio doing all sorts of marvellous things, and we'll talk about the road next travel in just a tick, everything seems right with the world.
Well, that's very kind. It's a great privilege what you and I do. Rabbiting on about a whole range of things on the radio or television is good fun, and it's much better than working, I've got to tell you that.
Well, I've often said that, but when you're 35, you are actually working. But when you get, dare I say it, just a little older, we start to be able to enjoy these moments more than maybe we did when we were 35.
Yeah, certainly cherish it. I must say, even at 35, I'd been the ABC New York correspondent for about 10 years and had come back to work on 60 Minutes so at that age. So life was pretty good even then, and had been for, I think, almost since birth, I was going to say, but certainly since I made the move that I didn't want to be an historian but wanted to be a journalist. I can't quite, pinch myself still these days when I go to interesting places and meet interesting people and think, geez, what have you done to deserve to be so lucky? So I hope other people say the same thing about their jobs.
Ray, do you look at, I think during the week, one of the top rating shows was on ACA, and it was the interview with Oprah. Do you sometimes look at that or think, gee, I'd still like to be doing that type of a program?
Yeah, I do. It's what she does is, I guess, tell stories through people. And that's really been what I've loved doing for the last 50-odd years as a journalist. I was first graded in Perth and wandered around WA then. But yes, I would like to, because it's, in a sense, to get somebody to talk on television or radio as though there wasn't an audience, as though they're just talking to you, as we're doing, is a great, it's a great skill. And she does it better than most. She's able to, despite the fact there's all the showbiz of the American size, and Oprah comes with a lot of baggage in the sense that she is who she is. Nevertheless, people open up to her and say things that I used to find, doing midday myself, I used to find quite often on 60 Minutes as well, that I'd wonder why people are telling me all these things, these private things about their lives. And she gets it all the time, and I think it's because people trust her and think that she's going to be sensible about it.
I read Larry King's book, The Wonderful Broadcaster Telecaster, and Larry said that he honed his skills primarily hosting overnight radio programs.
Yeah, well, I guess that allows you to get away with with blue murder and make mistakes and get out of it. I remember on one occasion at the ABC in Perth, rather, when I was first there back in the late 60s, and I went on air and a couple of tapes broke. We used to physically just cut the tapes and join them together in those days. And I'd been out doing an interview with Sir Walter Murdoch at the university and about Henry Lawson, and for some reason, and some anniversary. Anyway, the tape broke a couple of times in air, and I uttered, this is back in the late 60s, I uttered a profanity that I really shouldn't have said, and I walked out and the announcer said, I don't think it went to air, but I'm not sure. And as I walked out the door, I ran into the manager of the ABC in Perth, and he gave me a blue memo, which is usually the kiss of death, and I thought, I've destroyed my career before it begins. And I checked the memo upstairs. It said that the previous day I had said schedule instead of schedule. I'd committed this cardinal sin of a mispronunciation. Thankfully, the profanity didn't get to air, so I kept the job, and the rest is history.
It just shows how things have changed, though, really. Early part of the 80s, working at 3BA in Ballarat, and we were doing an outside broadcast from Tasmania, Hobart, from Rest Point back to the Ballarat audience. And I'd made some sort of comment on air, and I said, look, why don't you go make your own bloody coffee? So, Matt, during the next ad break, the general manager, lovely bloke by the name of Peter Caligari, walked up the stairs, and on the OB line off air said, Tony, I've heard of Bushell's coffee, and I've heard of Nescafe coffee. Never the brand you mentioned. Never mention it again.
Is that right, Jerry?
And that was just for using the word bloody. I mean, how things have changed in 30 years.
On midday too, I mean, we used to have comics who'd get on, and they wouldn't rehearse, of course, with us. They'd just go out and do their 2-minute stand-up, and they would occasionally use that same word. They'd say bloody this or bloody that. And I remember Sam Chisholm, the boss of the network, who was fairly renowned for his profanities, ringing me up and saying, did you have any idea that he was going to say that? And I said, well, no, Sam, I didn't really. And he said, well, you know, it isn't good for the program, it isn't good for the station, so please try and stop it. And that was, as I say, in his private life, he said a few more words than that. But nevertheless, on television or radio, you weren't supposed to say it.
I hope people have been following via 6PR the wonderful series that you and others have produced called The Road Next Travel. I think Series 2 is about to get underway, Ray?
Yes, indeed. It is. In fact, you can download it on iTunes or on 6PR's website, the blog, the podcast, rather.
Yeah.
For that. But it's been fantastic, actually, and it's been quite a revelation for me, too.
So along doing the interviews for The Road Next Travel, you've learned, presumably, a little bit about some of the things that people need to consider as we all get just a little older.
Indeed, as Australia ages, I must say it's one of those things that for me, it's the sense that it's not the last chapter. Where retirement is not the last chapter, it's just the next chapter in what we do. And that's been the message, I suppose, from the Road Next Travel we've done. And we've been backed by Colonial First State in doing it. And I say that as a free plug, only in the sense that what they've, in talking to some of their execs, it's been good for me to realise that the first thing you do is get some good financial advice. When you're thinking of the joys of putting your feet up a bit and maybe going on the holiday or doing something with the superannuation you've been building up, get some good financial advice. And you don't have to be wealthy. You know, if you've got a superannuation scheme, then that's probably enough and you need some help. And I think that was the huge advice for me. And I think what I've said to friends and family who've asked me about the series of programs, saying, you know, do you have a financial advisor? You know, you better go and pick one, because they can make your life much more livable in the next 10 or 20 or 30 years that you're going to live when you retire.
And right, my daughter's just finished financial planning, and I say you've got a great future ahead of you, because it's still sadly for most part, and if you were talking to Paul Clitheroe, I'm sure he would say the same thing, that people are not really managing their finances as much as they should, and we know that pension dollar is getting smaller, Ray.
Absolutely. And what's more, I think we tend to think, you know, it's okay for Kerry Packer, okay for the wealthy people to have a financial advisor. But the lesson of this series, the second series we're starting, has been, look, you know, if you don't need a lot of money to actually need some advice. And the advice so often, as with retirement, with the next sort of third of your life for many people, the advice is more than just financial. It's advice about really well-being, about, you know, if your finances are reasonably stable, and you and your wife or you and your partner can survive on that, well, then you could start to do the things you've dreamed of doing and, you know, take a left turn in your life, if you like. But if you're worrying about whether you can afford to get some tyres for the car or retire for the car and all those sorts of things, then you're going to be, the next 30 years is going to be fairly anxious.
Right, you stay right where you are, enjoy that cup of coffee. Is that a special cup of coffee?
It is a special cup of coffee, just like you served me once.
We'll come back more with Ray Martin straight after this here at 882 6PR.